one's over at Oklahoma City, coming back from an unbelievable poor opening quarter to win this ball game. The final score here in Phoenix tonight: the Oklahoma City Thunder 102, the Phoenix Suns 97.
That was January 27th. That was the last time the Phoenix Suns lost more than one game consecutively. That was actually their third consecutive loss. They lost those two to Denver on back-to-back nights. You remember when Jamal Murray made that shot that shouldn't have counted? Followed it up with a really flat performance against Oklahoma City. But that's how long it's been since the Suns have had back-to-back losses. And after Saturday night, there's no other way to say it. That was a debacle Saturday night.
It really was.
And now they're going into a stretch, not only, and I've concentrated from my viewpoint, Bick, on the first seven games. Not only do you get five of the top six teams in the Eastern Conference on this road trip, then you come back for Utah and the Clippers. They have 16 games remaining, the Phoenix Suns. Four of them are at home.
Wow.
Now, it shouldn't be that daunting, that ratio. I mean, it is, but for the best road team in the league, and the Suns still have that distinction, they'll probably pride themselves on playing well in those last 12 home games, but this is not going to be easy the rest of the way.
No. I would venture to guess that before this homestand began, I believe the Suns had like the second or third hardest schedule down the stretch, and that was before some real winnable games at home last week. I would venture to guess that these final 16 games, if you're going to look at strength of schedule from this point going forward, I'd be surprised if the Suns weren't number one. But it's not as worrisome as it sounds, because this is when the Suns are at their best, when the quality of their opponent locks them in and gets them focused. I hope that's the case, because Saturday was bad from a perceptual standpoint, because it really kind of made you say to yourself, all right, look, do championship contenders really fall down by 31 points to sub-500 teams resting three key players and two starters? I don't know. In this day and age of the NBA, maybe it happens more than it used to back in the day. But it's just another one of those bumps in the road that they're going to have to look in the face and say, why does this happen to us? And what can we do to prevent this? Because I know where Monty Williams is going, and I love his cut about, you know, we're not good enough as a basketball team to look past opponents, to look down on opponents. We're not in the playoffs. What have we accomplished? And everything he said is absolutely correct. They haven't. And that's why these kind of things are kind of crazy.
But, and I like that too, but why has this been as common as it has been?
I know.
When you have the home loss to Charlotte, when you have the home loss to Oklahoma City, when you blow the lead against a shorthanded Brooklyn team, when what happened Saturday night was the most extreme example of it.
Lose to Minnesota.
Yeah, lose to Minnesota at home. I get it. They're not accomplished enough to look past those teams, but they've had more than a few occasions to turn off that alarm clock and refocus, and they didn't do it. Now, Monty Williams, after that game against San Antonio, was asked about, shaking that one off and getting ready for the big road trip.
Easy correction, but it's certainly one that we can make. I know it sounds like a broken record. We just got to stick to our DNA. We share the ball, we play hard, and we defend. When we do that, we're a pretty good team. We can beat anybody in the league. When we play like we did tonight and it's inconsistent, you end up with tough nights like this. So it'll be a great time for us to get away. We had a good homestand, didn't end it the way we wanted it to, but we got a chance to go out on the road, bond some more. It's us against everybody. It's a great time for us to bounce back.
Yeah, and you had 55 games of a certain type of play. That game was so not indicative of how the Suns play.
Mm-hmm.
It was embarrassing. It was frustrating. It was really hard to figure out why that happened. But is it a concern at this point? I would say no. I'm very curious. I've always been curious to see how the Suns bounce back. To me, it was very similar to the first long homestand they had. That was a seven-gamer. And remember, they beat some good teams on that homestand. Boston came in, Milwaukee, Philadelphia. They lost the last game of that homestand, and they went out on the road kind of on a sour note. It was a shorter, It was a shorter stay at home and less tough in terms of the opponents that came in,
mm-hmm.
but it had a very similar feel to it.
Yeah.
And the Suns responded well from the first homestand, ending with a loss. They went out on the road. They played well. Now the Milwaukee Bucks, they do have Giannis back. He's been back for two games after the injury that he recovered from. Here's Monty Williams kind of previewing what he sees from Milwaukee.
I mean, the same thing they've always presented. Giannis is flying up and down the floor in transition, getting to the basket. He's making free throws. I think the game we had, I think he made something like 17 free throws or something like that.
Right, yeah, it was crazy. No.
Drew Holiday is, you know, he's another scorer for them along with Middleton. Lopez is a guy that changes up a lot for your team because he stretches the floor better than most seven-footers in the league. And he can post up as well. Tucker's a tough defender. You know, it's well documented that he can knock down a corner three, has a lot of intangibles. So they're a really good team.
Yeah, they are a really good team. And they're going to be more whole than they were the last time the Suns saw them here in Phoenix because Drew Holiday did not play in that game. And their injury report looks clean. This will be the first look they get with P.J. Tucker on that roster.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good way to start this trip. Could be a tone setter for the entire trip.
Yeah, it could. And the last time these two teams met, it was a terrific game. Giannis missed a shot at the buzzer. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of driving the basket, he settled.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I forget who it was after the game said, what were you looking for to get on that last possession? And it was like, we were looking for Giannis to take a jump shot.
Book said something. It was Book.
Booker,
Book
yeah.
came out and said he felt really good about their chances watching Giannis pull up. So I don't know what it's going to mean tonight, but that is an interesting little caveat that the back-to-back losses is looking this team in the face tonight. So I'm sure they're going to rally around that.
I'm happy they're starting with the Bucks on this road trip because the Bucks are good.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we know about the Suns team is against the good teams, they always play hard, they always play tough, and more often than not, they win. Like I said earlier, the majority of their losses this season are against below 500 teams, which is so bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so hard to chalk it up as like, okay, this happens to every team, which it does over an NBA season. Even the good teams have these just stinker games. But the fact that it continues to always happen against the same kind of team is very weird to me.
Yeah, here's the teams that are under 500 in the league that the Suns have lost to. Indiana, Washington, Orlando, Detroit, San Antonio, New Orleans, Sacramento, Oklahoma City.
It's almost all of them.
And Minnesota.
Yeah.
They only have 16 losses.
I know. You think about how historic this, if this team was always locked in, think about what that record might be. They might be running away with the number one seed right now.
So to Jarrett's point, I had this thought over the weekend too. The Suns are kind of, we know they're good.
Mm-hmm.
We know they're a playoff team. They're kind of all over the map in terms of what type of postseason respect they're getting from national analysts. But there is an unknown about them. How mm-hmm. are they going to respond when, you know, a lot of the core members of your rotation have never made the playoffs before? How do you respond in the postseason? I know the key to beating the Phoenix Suns in the postseason.
What?
Rest your stars.
Yeah.
Has anybody gone down that road and rest their best players in the playoffs?
Well, No. And I said earlier, I would not be surprised if Greg Popovich, because he still likes to poke and prod at our basketball organization. It's been going on for years. I'll never forget the time. Remember that playoff series against San Antonio where he was fouling Shaq every single time?
Mm-hmm.
And Shaq looked over him one time and Popovich gave him the double thumbs up, like, have fun, buddy, make your free throws.
I think that was after the very first play of the game. They intentionally fouled Shaq.
Oh,
and they were like, what? And
well,
he
forced Mike D'Antoni's hand. And I remember it caused such a state of anxiety inside the Suns organization. Mike was basically giving Shaq public pep talks on making free throws. He can make them. But eventually he started taking them out of games in the fourth quarter. Pop likes to do that kind of stuff. I would not be the least bit surprised if he said, you know what? Let's throw this at them. I don't know. Just a thought.
Look, he's a wizard, but you might be giving him too much
Maybe.
Credit.
Well, I think if there was...
And he looks like a wizard now, too.
Well,
that hair.
Oh.
He, in Phoenix, he was the only person in greater need of a haircut than Jarrett on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Haircut's coming, by the way.
And my and my 18-year-old son, who right now is looks like you, Jarrett. In a word, he looks ridiculous, but he won't get a haircut.
Oh, I should have taken a picture of my 15-year-old.
Same thing?
You want to talk about a mushroom cloud of hair that kid has.
Oh, I love it.
Holy moly. Uh-huh.
It's that time, man. We're all exploring ourselves.
I think you should be long past that.
That's true. I should know.
You should be in a much more professional lane right now, Carlin.
I'm getting a haircut this coming weekend.
You're not even talking about appearance, are you?
No, I know. Well, don't tell me about
right?
This weekend.
Suspended
haircut.
Weird. I was going to say suspended adolescence. I think it's just suspended weirdness with you, Jerry. This weekend? Is that a commitment?
This coming weekend.
That's a commitment. This is not a maybe. This is a commitment.
Yes. I'm absolutely sick and tired of my hair, and I hate
it. No, you're not.
Guess what's going to happen.
I'm not sick of the way it looks, but I'm sick of the way it's...
Jared's former college roommate's going to be in town, and he can't come to Phoenix without seeing the hair, so it'll be delayed again.
I've sent pictures to my... chat group.
That's not the same.
I know it's not.
People need to see.
That's why. That's why I haven't got a haircut yet.
People come from miles around.
Oh, they do.
See
me.
Right. Right.
But that doesn't sound like something.
It's like going and visiting Old Faithful.
We could hear Sarah laughing through the glass with no microphone. That's fantastic.
That's quality.
Like going on to see the biggest ball of yarn.
Right. I mean, it's.
It does look like the biggest ball of yarn.
Crater in Arizona.
Jarrett's about to be the biggest ball of yarn.
I know.
He is.
Oh, my God.
You're going to be so sad when I show up on the next week.
No.
No, I'm actually going to be very happy. I have a hard time looking at you. I'm going to be honest with you.
I don't think it's going to happen.
It will definitely happen.
I don't think so either.
You don't even have to say you don't think. Sunday, haircut, done.
Do you have an appointment?
I don't, you know. I will make an appointment.
Okay.
I don't need to make an appointment right now.
Flobies don't take appointments.
And they were busy. And I said, I was tired.
Well, that's a lot of people. Like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
May 25th, for sure. May 25th.
We should get a haircut on the I should get a haircut on the show.
No. We've donated enough time of this show to your hair already. We don't need that.
It's who's going
to
touch your hair?
Of every sports kebab now. Hey, did you see my hair?
I wasn't going to do it this week.
How ridiculous is it?
Got to give the people what they want.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I'm
so hairy. How hairy are you? Very.
I look like a stalk of broccoli on top of a pencil.
All right, back on track. We came up about the, it popped up over the weekend about resting players.
I look like a woolly mammoth without the mammoth. Okay, sorry, go ahead. This is not my game, clearly.
Sports Kebab Friday with Dan Bickley.
Okay, so by the way, yeah, are we moving off of the Suns here?
We can.
I just wasn't sure what you're doing. The last thing I was going to bring up is the Bucks' mindset tonight is going to be interesting. They lost to the Suns in their last meeting, and they got pasted by the Grizzlies on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That loss could not have been easy for them. So I think you're going to get a focused opponent tonight, but I don't think that's an issue for the Suns.
But
anyways.
It goes back to your point that the best teams and the Bucks are lesser than the Suns record wise, but the best teams do struggle beating lesser opponents. There's been a lot of cases of it. So yeah, that game getting underway tonight at 5:00 from Milwaukee in the opener. That 5-game road trip, ESPN 620 has the coverage with pregame starting at 4:30. There was a lot of other stuff that went on. In the NBA yesterday, the Knicks-Pelicans game from New York was unbelievable, especially if you're a Pelicans fan. To set the tone of what happened, Pelicans are up 3. During a timeout, Stan Van Gundy says, okay, first opportunity to foul. Don't let him get the 3-point shot off. We're going to foul. Inbounds play happens. Derrick Rose gets the ball, dribbles around for a while, goes into the lane on the dribble without being fouled,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you concede the layup, correct?
Oh,
if you didn't foul, you concede the layup.
Yeah.
Lonzo Ball says, ooh, got to cut him off, and then thinks better of it, leaving Reggie Bullock open in the corner. He hits the 3, game goes to overtime. They go on to lose by 10. Stan Van Gundy can't hold his tongue after the game about how frustrated he is.
And all you've got to do is execute for 7.8 seconds. You're just supposed to come out of a timeout, do what we're supposed to do, and put the game away, and we don't do it. No excuse whatsoever today. None. None. I don't care if you're a senior in high school, you can execute what we were supposed to be doing with 7.8 seconds to go. So no excuse whatsoever. Tonight's as frustrated as I've been, because tonight's simple. Nobody had to make a play. You know, you didn't have to make a play, make a shot, make a pass. You didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to do anything.
Hey, you
just had to do what the hell you were supposed to do. I think some of it is, you know, young guys, not a lot of experience going down the stretch. But like I said, today, simple. High school guys could have executed down the stretch. The 7.8 seconds, high school guys could have done what they were supposed to do.
So wow. You could see there's a certain angle, too, where Bullock is hitting the shot, and you could see Steven Adams just kind of shrugging at what Lonzo Ball chose to do defensively. Uh-huh. That's after Eric Bledsoe didn't commit the foul.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the podium doing the post-game interview with the New Orleans media and was asked about it. This trumps even "I don't want to be here anymore" on the Eric Bledsoe scale.
Get ready, folks.
Was the plan when they tied it up? I mean, like, was it conveyed in the huddle that you guys were supposed to foul?
Yeah. Yeah, and no one paying attention, lack of focus. And you get three. D-Rose got downhill and made a great play.
Now, I don't know if it's hard to hear. He was wearing a mask during that, but he said that was conveyed in the huddle, but I wasn't paying attention, lack of focus.
Yep.
I don't know if he meant he wasn't paying attention in the huddle or if he wasn't paying attention to what was unfolding on the floor. Either way, for him to come out post-game and say those words has to make people that are fans of the Pelicans pull their hair out.
It tells you that there might be a gap between Stan Van Gundy and that locker room. Because if you've got Lonzo Ball reacting that poorly on an elementary basketball play, given the situation, and then you get Eric Bledsoe openly taunting his coach, I don't listen to him. That's a lot of weirdness coming from one team and one basketball game.
Even after
and
the
Eric
Knicks.
Bledsoe, I'm telling you, good riddance times 10. That basketball player, when he was acquired by Ryan McDonough, that's when things looked really good for Ryan, and we thought, wow, this guy he's explosive, he's powerful, he can shoot a little bit. What's the word? Underachieving isn't the right word, but not a winning player. He's just not.
I agree with you. And even after the Knicks tied the game up, the Pelicans had one last shot. They set the shot up for Bledsoe to take, and he airballed it.
And he airballed it. Wow.
That's not even the other. There's another big story coming out of that game, because that was Zion's first pro game at Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, here we go.
So somebody asked him about, hey, how do you like playing in New York?
New York is the mecca of basketball. I love playing. I love playing here. When I played here in college, and this is my first time playing here in the pros, and I mean, this atmosphere, you know, whether they're cheering for you, whether they're booing for you, it's amazing. Honestly, I think outside of New Orleans, obviously, I think this might be my favorite place to play outside of New Orleans. I can't lie to you.
So, of course, that gets blown up.
He threw in the outside New Orleans at the last second there to try to save things.
And without seeing the video, watching the video, Zion was smiling ear to ear the whole time he said it. He did play there once in college, played there in the pros. So now everybody's, you know, the conspiracy theorists are in. But Zion's going to end up in New York. Could very well happen. He did say outside of New Orleans. Too much being made of this, do you think?
No, because Anthony Davis was once among the most level-headed, sensible young men, and he said, no, New Orleans isn't for me. And he claimed to be in pursuit of a championship, but this was a basketball team that was getting Zion Williamson. No, I think Zion will leave.
And it's the same thing
happening. And I think the league will like it.
The same thing's happening with Zion is they just can't put the right team around him to win anything.
Mm-hmm.
They changed coaches. They added free agents, but they're still not very good.
Vinny said this a few times. The league, almost to the point of embarrassment, gives the Pelicans these high leverage basketball games. They're doing that for one guy.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. So I think the NBA would champion. They would never admit it, but they would love to get him in a bigger market.
Yeah, yesterday as well, Brooklyn loses on a buzzer beater to Miami. Bam Adebayo hit the buzzer beater to give the Heat a 109-107 win. The Heat were playing without Jimmy Butler. He did not dress for the game. Kevin Durant did play. Not very long. Played 4 minutes. He had 8 points, and then he left with a thigh contusion.
Yeah.
Didn't play for the rest of the game. So it was Kyrie Irving. Blake Griffin did play, but still no James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
That could be influential in what happens with the Suns when they visit Brooklyn. But, man, Kevin Durant is always hurt.
when Kevin Durant left that game, you probably saw this. Immediately on social media for the rest of the night yesterday, it was all about how soft the NBA has become. How you sneeze on these players and they're done. Now, it's not true, but that perception...
Actually, that is almost literally true last year and this year.
Yeah, well, Jimmy Butler had some great quotes over the weekend talking about how soft his team was, why they're not winning, and then the next time out, he doesn't dress.
I thought that was a huge moment for Bam Adebayo to be entrusted with a game-winning shot and to make it like that. He would, if Jimmy Butler was playing, Bam's not shooting that ball, I don't think.
Probably not. The Nets, by the way, have not had their big three together for any game since February 13th.
Mm. They're still really good.
They've played 7 games, 186 minutes total with the big three on the floor.
But isn't that kind of just the one thing that making you hold out hope with this NBA season? Because it feels like if they were all healthy, that Nets team is unstoppable.
When James Harden misses time for an injury, I have no reason to question why he's missing the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that laces him up and plays when he's available to play. Mm-hmm. The other two, you don't know what you're going to get from Kevin Durant or Kyrie mm-hmm. Irving. And they're both fabulous basketball players.
I know. I totally agree with you. So who knows how long he's going to be out. If that team finds another gear in the playoffs and rolls through the East, it's going to be such a bad look for the regular season. That's just not a very likable team outside of their coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, they're fun to watch,
mm-hmm.
But you're right. I don't know what to expect from them, quite honestly. Coming up next, we are nearing the beginning of the 2021 NFL Draft. Coming up next week, but we're getting a head start with the Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft, and our very own Dan Bickley is on the clock at number 3 to make the pick for the San Francisco 49ers. We'll do it next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bickley and Murata on this Monday. Hope you had a great weekend as we come to you live from the Ok-Chin Community Studios. Coming up, right now, and for the rest of the week, we are unveiling our annual Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft. It got underway this morning with Doug and Wolf at 7 o'clock, where a member of the staff will act as the GM for the NFL team on the clock, and we'll make the pick and kind of analyze and possibilities. It's it's food for thought, a lot mm-hmm. of fun. That being said, why don't we take a look back at what's already happened in the Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft, starting with Doug and Wolf this morning.
Previously on the Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft.
The pick is in. Let's go to the podium and see what they're going to do here.
With the first pick of the 2021 Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence, quarterback, Clemson.
With the second pick of the 2021 Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft, the New York Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
The Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft.
Ultimate Mock Draft.
Bickley and Murata are on the clock.
And more specifically, Dan Bickley, as our de facto GM of the San Francisco 49ers, is on the clock.
All right, there's how many minutes do I have to make the selection?
15.
Okay, good.
You have technically 4 minutes here.
Okay. All right, so the San Francisco 49ers obviously have something in mind to trade up all the draft capital they did to get to number 3. There was a feeling at one point in time that the San Francisco 49ers were one of the few teams really zeroing in on Deshaun Watson. Now, Deshaun Watson's legal team issued a comprehensive defense very recently in which they described the case against him as a money grab, and they threw out a lot of examples. And they're requesting a trial by jury. Okay? That might speak well to Deshaun Watson in his future, but trials by jury take some time.
Mm-hmm.
And which means Deshaun Watson is not going to get traded by the number by the NFL draft. So the 49ers are going to make this pick, and they might be making this pick as a placeholder to eventually trade with the Houston Texans. That is what I happen to believe. I also happen to believe that the San Francisco 49ers do not move up in the NFL draft to get a quarterback who isn't good off the script. Mac Jones might be really good at executing the plays that you want him to execute, but you look across the NFC West, and there's a couple of transcendent athletes playing quarterback. There's a new guy in Los Angeles, and you don't do this to get a guy who's just good at one thing. You need a guy who can make plays on his own away from the script. So, with the third pick in the Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State.
Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State.
Fields has only gotten better in his college years. He does much better holding on to the football. He's quick on his feet to evade sacks or backfield tackles and can deliver a football with plenty of speed. Fields is also tough. He'll take that big hit if it means completing the big pass, and he can put his head down to get that extra yard if a team needs him to. He needs to improve his vision, whether under pressure or to throw off a defense, but he made it look easy in the Big Ten, going undefeated in the conference as a starter. NFL comp, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott.
All right, Justin Fields off the board in the ultimate mock draft at number three, joining Trevor Lawrence at one, Zach Wilson at two. Quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. Mm-hmm. Will it be four signal callers in a row? The Atlanta Falcons on the clock, and I will make the pick for the Falcons coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. Your rationale, your explanation for the pick
mm-hmm.
was very thorough,
mm-hmm.
except for I did have a question.
Mm-hmm.
In your process, you said you don't think the 49ers moved up to number three to take a quarterback who's not good off the script.
Right.
So Fields was the pick. Jones was not considered as strongly.
And to complete the loop, Trey Lance,
okay.
I think, is too much of a project
gotcha.
to warrant that kind of a leap.
But in real life, Trey Lance having another pro day today.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the San Francisco 49ers are very much involved in the process of that pro day.
Yeah. In fact, speaking of scripts, they apparently have sketched out exactly what they want to see from Trey Lance. So clearly they're looking at this guy. I just think that eventually they're going to go with the guy who's got the big game experience, regardless of what you think of the Big Ten. And there were a couple of games this year when Justin Fields wasn't all that, but when he's good, he's terrific. I'm still not certain this pick or this player doesn't get traded to the Texans. But that's a story for another segment or another day. I know I'm not in the majority maybe on this. Mike Lombardi, who I believe was once the general manager in San Francisco, was he?
Off the top of my head.
For like a minute?
I'd have to look that up.
He says this, quote, Justin Fields is not going to go number three. That's what I've heard. I love the people on Twitter who are like weathermen. Seriously, where are you getting your information? You've got better sources than me. Good luck. I'm just telling you, if it's not Mac Jones, it's Trey Lance, end quote. Well, I'm not sure that the 49ers aren't conning everybody on this. Because there's also a video from Jerry Rice delivered to Justin Fields when Justin was having his work ethic questioned. Jerry Rice, of all people, jumped in and said, we know you're a hard worker. And it was a real positive, uplifting thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Jerry Rice knows who they're taking, but it's I just think that's where they go. That's the only pick to me that really seems to make any sense.
Look, I was thinking about it, too, you know, being as involved in mock drafts for the website. I'm tinkering with the idea of putting together a mock draft of my own for the first time and doing
really?
This process.
Wow.
And right now, if I was going to publish it, which it won't be published for a while, but I would have Justin Fields going number three
mm-hmm.
at this point to San Francisco. Now, the pick at number one that Doug, actually Wolf made at, did Doug make it? Doug made
Wolf,
it.
No, Wolf
made it. Yeah.
Wolf made number one.
Oh, okay.
Trevor Lawrence going number one to Jacksonville. No surprise there. Trevor Lawrence was in the news last week and made some news over the weekend, too, with a three-tweet thread that he put out. It reads, I am internally motivated. I love football as much or more than anyone. It's a huge priority in my life. Obviously, I am driven to be the best I can be and to maximize potential and to win. I have a lot of confidence in my work ethic. I love to grind and to chase my goals. You can ask anyone who has been in my life. That being said, I am secure in who I am and what I believe. I don't need football to make me feel worthy as a person. I purely love the game and everything that comes with it. The work, the team, the ups and downs. I am a firm believer in the fact that there is a plan for my life, and I'm called to be the best I can be at whatever I'm doing. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk, LOL. I think it's a little bit, and I know they were the words of Trevor Lawrence, and they were the words of Trevor Lawrence's dad in the Sports Illustrated article that caused all this reaction, but do you really need to explain yourself that much? If you're not driven to be great at football, you're not the number one overall draft pick. Again, you're not as successful as you were in college. You're not the quality of prospect that you've become if you're not driven.
Mm-hmm.
It's just people are so bothered by
football people,
by work balance. I mean, Tim Hasselbeck was on Get Up on ESPN, and he said this about other great quarterbacks.
Well, Brett Favre did a lot of hunting, and he did a lot of golfing. He was pretty good. You know, Peyton Manning, you know, did not sit in a cave every single night watching film. Did he prepare? Sure he did. But he had other things going on in his life. Same thing with Tom Brady. Like, are people freaking out when he goes to the Met Gala? Like, no, they're not. And Aaron Rodgers is hosting Jeopardy. So I think, like, things go on outside of football, and you can still be focused on.
Is there a difference of thinking when it's an established quarterback as opposed to somebody
coming
in?
You've already arrived, definitely. Definitely.
It's so unfair.
It most assuredly is unfair, but it's been a function of this industry for years, Vinny. You have to give us every ounce of your free time. You are expected. This is a thing about quarterbacks, and this might be one of the issues that the Cardinals had early on with Kyler Murray. Maybe it isn't. But they expect football players to take their work home with them all the time, every night. Mm-hmm. They expect quarterbacks to be in their playbook at home all the time, every night. Is that fair? I mean,
depends on what happens on Sunday.
Well, that's very well said. Yeah, but if you are unproven in the NFL and you're still seeking a life balance, you're going to send up red flags. Not to me. If I was GM, I would not be that old school, oh, that's a red flag kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I also do know from experience that most of the elite, incredibly great driven athletes are wired differently. I've said this, I've repeated this take for years. Michael Jordan was insane. Tom Brady is insane.
Competitively insane.
I mean that in a good way, competitive way. They're not looking for life balance. They don't want life balance. They wouldn't know what to do with their balance.
Trevor Lawrence had the audacity to go and get married, too, over the weekend, which is just ridiculous. Where's his commitment?
Wow.
He tweeted out.
You mean he might have a family? Oh, we can't draft him.
Jaguars fans were registering and giving him gifts.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
He tweeted out, thank you, Jaguars fans. We really appreciate the wedding gifts and donations for the charities of our choice. In addition to the donations, Marissa and I will also be donating $20,000 to charities in Jacksonville. Thanks again. We hope to be part of your community soon. Yeah, I think that's not going to happen. One of the first responses was, how do you already have $20,000?
Well, I think he's meant once I sign my contract, but yeah.
Yeah, because agents never give advances.
Oh, yeah. So you think you went to Clemson for the free education?
People are...
Animals, and animals are...
The worst.
The worst.
Text bonus right now to 620-620. Listen for your name this afternoon at 135 to win $500. That's bonus, B-O-N-U-S, to 620-620. It is the Arizona Sports signing bonus, and we're trying to give away $500 every day. Coming up next, it's amazing the difference of quality you get with $200 million in the open market in the baseball world. We'll explain next. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
When Dan Bickley and Vince Marotta talk about baseball, it's chin music. and they know a lot about chin music. Did you ever look at the chins on those two guys?
I haven't heard that in a while.
Been a really long time.
The great Bob Uecker. I didn't think it's going to be around this long.
The insult doesn't really make sense, but
yeah, that's kind of always where I was.
It's cool to have him on the rejoin, mm-hmm. so I did want to play because we haven't played in forever.
Yeah,
but it doesn't really make sense, so that's why I don't really play.
Oh, I must be in the front row. Those were all timers. Yeah.
Over the weekend, Padres Dodgers first sampling we've had between those two teams certainly lived up to the hype. Some great baseball. Dodgers won two of the three games in San Diego. And the Padres are for real. We know it. But the Dodgers are 13-3, Bick.
Mm-hmm.
They've had almost as many RBIs from their pitching staff as they've had from Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger, who's hurt, combined this year.
Yeah.
And they're 13-3.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, isn't
this
it?
This might be the most foregone conclusion of the result of a Major League Baseball season in the history of the sport.
That might be true, but I do think that this rivalry now between the Dodgers and the Padres, there was a lot of hype going into this series, and this series in San Diego exceeded every drop of it. Their game Friday night was intense and insane.
Mm-hmm.
The game on Saturday ended with Mookie Betts making a diving catch in center field with runners on second
catch.
And third.
Yeah.
It lived up to everything. And that to me... That to me is a pretty cool thing, and they're back at it next weekend in Chavez Ravine, and then you keep in mind that the Diamondbacks have to play 38 games or 1/4 of their season against those two teams.
Well, at least it's only 34 now.
right. That's true. That
number gets chipped away. Right. That's not a bad thing. The Padres will be in town later this month, but I was looking at the numbers and. What the Dodgers have done. Justin Turner is mm-hmm. a machine.
Yeah.
A guy who we thought after the controversy and basically at that point in his career wouldn't be back with the Dodgers. They bring him back, overpaid him in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But then he's one of the best players in baseball so far this year. Mookie Betts has two RBIs. They're 13-3.
That's ridiculous.
You brought up the point too about when you were comparing the rosters of the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks, and you're like, yeah, the Diamondbacks got all these like scrappy guys that, you know, just trying to stick in Major League Baseball. Dodgers don't have, actually they do. There's another one this year. This McKinstry kid has mm-hmm. been unbelievable.
Yeah.
Everything they touch
never
turns
ends.
To gold.
Yeah, no, it never ends. And it is the worst nightmare possible because it was bad enough when the Dodgers just outspent everybody. And now they can outspend everybody, and their system of developing young players is unparalleled in Major League Baseball. Maybe Tampa, but it's the same guy. It's that Friedman dude.
They're already 3.5 games up on the Giants and Padres.
Mm-hmm.
Diamondbacks are already 7 games out.
Yeah, and but like you said, it's like the Dodgers haven't even been that great, and they're 13-3.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
If you bet that through 15 games, the New York Yankees and their massive payroll would be the worst team in the American League, congratulations, you're a big winner, because they are 5-10 for the first time since 1997. They got swept by Tampa Bay over the weekend. They are really bad right now. People in New York are freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Boone is under a lot of pressure as the manager. He talked about... attempting to break out of this slump that the Yankees are in.
I don't know that it's necessarily extra work. I mean, because at some point you got to go out there and do it. You know, whether we're talking base running, defensively, it's about being super consistent. At bat wise, you know, it's about, again, not being obsessed with chasing a result, which is hard to do when you get off to a slow start individually. You know, you want to get a hit so bad that that can sometimes work against you. You got to have a good at bat, and when they do that, when we do that, you know, good things absolutely follow. But that's what we've got to continue to do.
Through 15 games, the Yankees 5-10 record, their worst since 1997. By the way, that 1997 mm-hmm. team rebounded to win 96 or 97 games.
Okay.
Batting average through 15 games, 210. There were since 1968, which was not exactly a happy time in Yankee history. Their OPS team-wise of 642, worse since 1973. And their 139 strikeouts by hitters, their worst ever through 15 games, which doesn't shock you again with the way baseball is played these days. But
no, but, you know, they sunk a lot of money into Garrett.
Yes.
Cole.
Who's been the one constant in their rotation.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah, me too.
But it is alarming when you see the different tack taken by the Boston Red Sox and them kind of just saying, all right, we're not going to bring back all these players. We're going to trade Mookie Betts before the pandemic. They're 10-6. They're in first place. Your first place teams in the American League right now are Boston, Kansas City, and the Seattle Mariners.
The Mariners.
Speaking
Nobody
of,
thought of that.
Of the Red Sox, they were playing a day game today against the White Sox, and it was a blowout. Mm-hmm. So starting in the seventh inning, the White Sox started putting position players in. And in the eighth inning, they put in some guy who was throwing 60-mile-an-hour fastballs and was throwing 40-mile-an-hour lobs to the plate. It was absurd and ridiculous.
Well, you saw Astudillo from Minnesota was throwing. He was called on to pitch. He was throwing 46, I think, is what he topped out over the weekend.
It's not a bad way to limit to sort of combat the launch angle theory. And powerful lineups, make them generate their own.
You know who that might have been? Was that Yermin Mercedes? Was that our guy, Yermin Mercedes?
He pitched the seventh inning.
The Pecos League?
So yeah, that's
He was throwing actually like high 70s.
So the guy in...
It was a guy in the eighth inning.
A guy by the name of Danny Mendick.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Tremendous stuff. No, it's actually terrible.
You remember him, born in 1993 in Rochester. He was a 20...
one of my favorites.
22nd round pick of the White Sox.
But that used to be like one of the best things in baseball. Is like a couple times a season, you'd see the position player get in, and it'd be like so cool. Now it happens all the time. It's almost like a mockery of baseball.
Of all my pet peeves with baseball, mine is not pace of play. I have some other pet peeves, but I think the frequency of position players on the pitching mound, it drives me absolutely crazy.
Wow.
I feel like you should like just concede the game. Like, if you're going to start putting in, you know, we saw it last year, or maybe not last year, the year before last year, where they'd start putting position players in like, the sixth inning, the seventh inning, which you would never see. And if you're going to do that, just concede the game. Just say, that's it, gone, let's go.
Yeah, because you're doing it to rest tomorrow. Your pitchers, so if you want to rest your pitchers, rest everybody. Rest is the most important thing in sports these days.
Yes,
how do we not know this by now? It's not about competition, it's about being rested.
It is.
What about Havlicek?
You train.
Ran 8 miles every game. Sorry.
No, that's all right. But that's what you do. You train for years and years and years. You get into the greatest shape of your life. You are the highest. What does Wolf say?
The highest that the species can generate.
That's it.
Right?
And so what's the end game? So you can rest. So you don't have to compete. What a joke. So ridiculous.
Yes, it is. The Bickley Blast is straight ahead to kick off the second half of the show. It's Bickley and Marotta live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.